You're listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Elena, and this is episode number 38 for October 1st, 2012.
Welcome to the podcast, where we talk about all kinds of different running topics, from 5Ks to marathons to nutrition to training.
Gear.
Races.
Medals.
A lot of talk about races.
Yeah.
Bling. Can't forget the bling.
Yeah.
Kind of a quiet week. Not too much going on right now, I guess. We'll jump in kind of how our weeks went. Our usual week in training. Let's go ahead and start with you, I guess.
I'm going to go first?
Sure.
Okay. So I had just over 43 miles of running this week. So that was, I think, 5 days of running. It included one long run of 18 miles, which I did 2 days ago. And I headed out to Iron Horse Trail, which we mentioned, I think it was last time.
Same place we did our long run.
So we went out before. We went out to that same trail. Did a long run out there again. And then I also did, I'll get back to my long run because I have stuff to talk about with my long run. But also did, I think, just one day on the spinner. So a little disappointed with that. But I don't know, I just haven't been like motivated to get on it. So hopefully I'll do better this week with that. But I did get 3 days of weight training in. So that was good. But yeah, on my long run, I kind of had a couple of interesting or weird things kind of happen that hadn't happened before. So first 3 miles kind of took, you know, a little while for me to warm up, which is pretty typical for me, like on a long run. And then miles like 3 to 6, feeling okay. I think 6 to 10 felt really good, like really, really good. Like this, I feel too good, you know, to be running. You know, that sounded weird, but you know, it's good to be running.
You should just stop and go.
Right, I should just stop, exactly, because this is just, you know, too much fun. But, you know, I was just having a really, really good time, felt really good. And then miles like 10 to 14 or 14 and a half were difficult, very difficult. And I couldn't figure it out at the time, like why, you know, like right then I was like, why am I feeling so bad when a couple of miles ago I was feeling really good, you know, and it's not like I don't think pace wise I was going too fast. It just kind of didn't make sense. But then later I realized, oh, I didn't fuel early enough or as much as I normally do. And I kind of, I don't want to say forgot about it, but I guess kind of, I didn't pay attention to it. And then by the time like my fuel stores just started going down, that's when I was feeling horrible. By that time, when it's like, oh, I feel bad. Oh, maybe it's because, you know, and then I started, you know, fueling back up with like goo and the Honey Stinger chews that I usually use. And, you know, but it takes a little while for that to kind of kick in. And then when it did, like mile 14 and a half to 18 felt really good. So that was something I hadn't really done in a while, like where I just kind of forget or, I don't know, just didn't pay attention, I guess, with kind of fueling. Have you ever done that?
All the time.
Okay.
That's a normal thing.
Oh, okay. Right? All right. So that was one, that was an interesting thing. The other thing was, usually on these long runs, I take, you know, music with me. So usually like an iPod, Nano, or, you know, that's usually what I take. So I was running about 4 miles into it. It started, my Nano just started doing some weird things, like skipping songs, like just in the middle of a song. It was like going fast forward. It was telling me all these details about the song, like the album, which I'd never heard before. You know, I'm like, how did this happen? So I, you know, I thought, oh, okay, my Nano, you know, something wrong with it. And I had my phone with me because I want to run with my phone just in case. And so I had music on there. So I plugged in my earbuds into my phone. Same thing started happening. So I realized, oh, it's these earbuds, which had given me a little bit of trouble before. And I don't know if it was like when we did Virginia Beach, if it was like all the humidity and the moisture that just kind of, you know, ruined them, I guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, who knows? You know, I've had them for a while, but I don't know. They were sending some weird signals to my phone and my Nano. So I couldn't use them anymore. So I disconnected and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm at mile 4 of an 18 mile run with no music. I did have backup earbuds in the car, but I wasn't going to run back for those, which made me think, why did I even bring them if I wasn't going to run back for those? So I thought, okay, well, this could be interesting. But I've done most of the trail half marathons I've done without music and did okay. So I was like, all right, well, this will be interesting. And I mean, I guess it was fine, you know, just, you know, paid more attention to stuff that was around, noticed some things I hadn't noticed before. Some people actually, you know, like talked to me on the trail, you know, which probably if I had earphones or earbuds, either one, I wouldn't have heard them or maybe they wouldn't have. So that was different too. And then I ended up dropping some of my Honey Stinger chews when I was running, just that hadn't happened before too. It was kind of weird. I mean, nothing major, you know, that was a really good run.
Like I felt good afterwards. The whole package,
well, or? I dropped the whole package. So I was running, and then I think I told you, I don't remember. I was running, and then I was passing this guy, not much older than me. I mean, probably in his late 40s or something. You know, and I'm slowly kind of catching up to him, and then I, you know, kind of come up right next to him and then start passing him. He's like, "Oh man, you're making me feel old," you know, and I look over and just kind of smiled. And I said, "Well, you've probably been out here on the trail longer than I have today." And he's like, "Oh, it's really nice," or that's a nice thing to say, but I doubt it. So, you know, have a good run, have a good day. So then passed him up. I'm like, okay, you know, time to fuel up, and grabbed my Honey Stinger shoes out of my pocket, which was really easily accessible because I had my Nathan pack again. So it's right there in the front. Pulled them out, put a couple of the chews in my mouth, went to put it back in the pocket and just dropped the whole thing on the ground. But none of the chews fell out. So that was good.
As
I'm picking it up, he's passing me by because I had just passed him. He's like, "Oh, this is the only way I'm going to be able to catch up to you, you know, is if you keep dropping stuff." So did that. And then like a mile or two later, went to do the same thing, but actually just dropped a chew or two just totally on the ground, like in the dirt. I was like, "Oh man, what is wrong with me?" But so, I mean, nothing major, but it was just like that hadn't happened. My earbuds hadn't like failed me before, you know? So it was just kind of weird, but it was a really good run. I felt pretty good at the end of it, but kind of that middle section was kind of tough, and I ended up doing okay without music for, I mean, 14 miles. That's kind of a long time to, you know, when I'm used to running with music.
I would have gone crazy.
Would you really?
Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of don't have the ability to run without something in my ear.
Yeah.
And that's probably not a good thing.
Right.
But that's become the reality, I guess.
Yeah. Although I did like notice more things, I guess, because I wasn't as distracted by my music. You know, so just kind of looking around, I'm like, "Oh, I remember that building being there," you know, and, "Oh, okay." You know, those people, you just notice more because, you know, you don't have music distracting you, which you kind of want music distracting you like on a long run because you don't want to think about how many more miles you have to do. But I just had to find distraction with other stuff. So wasn't too bad. I think probably the fact that I haven't had music in the trail halves I've done probably helped.
Because
then I've done 13 plus without music. So kind of got a little used to it versus always having music. And then, I got 14 more miles to do. So, but I had a pretty good week. So another week in my marathon training plan completed, and actually ended up, I think, doing a few more miles. Actually, just a mile more than what my plan had called for. So I did pretty good. I'm pretty happy with that. So, and I feel pretty good. I'm not really sore or anything today. So how was your week?
My week was, I guess, pretty good. I was only supposed to, according to my training plan, which I have in front of me, I was supposed to run 3 days, and I did run 3 days. And I think I basically met the mileage that I was supposed to meet for the week, although I kind of did it a little differently than I was supposed to.
Yeah, kind of moved days around.
Because I went out on Tuesday, and I just wasn't, it's one of those days, I guess, you just aren't feeling it.
Yeah.
So I think I went out and did like just over 2 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just kind of said, I'm done. Kind of packed it in. And I think I ended up walking back home almost a mile, probably. I don't know. I hit 2 miles and something, and I was just like, I'm done. I'm not even going to like, you know, half run it back home. I was like, I'm just going to walk.
You were done.
I was just done. And maybe that's the week before the long run was 15 miles.
Yeah.
Longest training run that I had ever done. So I guess I was still kind of tired and beat up from that a little bit. So that's how that went. And then on Thursday, I think I was supposed to run six, and I basically ran 5.8. Did that usual thing. You know, it was 5.8 when I got back home, and I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm not going to go down the street to grab any extra quarter mile or anything like that.
That's so funny that like, I mean, I know to you, like, that's just what you do. Like, if you're back at the house or, you know, wherever, like, at 5.62 or something, like, you're just done. Or, I don't know, maybe I'll up it a little bit. Like, 5.83, okay, you're just done. Like, you're not going to do the extra, you know, 0.17. And to me, like, if I was back at the house, like, at 5.83, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I only have 0.1. Like, I'd go, like, run around the block until I was done if I had to get the six. So it's just kind of funny to me, like, how we're totally opposite with that.
Well, it's funny because I used to kind of be OCD almost about like the mileage totals, like always ending on like rounding it off to a quarter mile. So I would always stop if it's, you know, 3.25
right,
or 3.5.
Right.
I would always make sure to get like that exact amount.
Yeah.
And lately, maybe because it's more mileage lately than I used to run.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I'm done.
You're less interested with that.
Yeah. Although on long runs, I do stop at like an even number. Like if I'm supposed to go run 13 on a long run, I've never stopped it at like 12.8. Although I guess maybe that is because most of my long runs on the weekends have been kind of like out and backs.
That's true. So you had to get back somehow.
Yeah, I had to, you know, I couldn't really.
Well, you could have. You could have stopped like a mile short, I guess, but then you'd have to walk a whole mile back.
Yeah. And I think with the long runs, I just kind of want to be done.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't want to walk more than I have to.
Right. Because the faster I go, the sooner I'll get back.
The sooner you get done. So, yeah, I'm losing track here.
Sorry, I threw you off. I just thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, so that was my Thursday. So 5.83 is actually what I ran. I have it written down here in front of me. And then on the weekend, I mentioned last week, my training plan had called for 13, but I thought it would be a good idea to run 16 because in 2 weeks I have to run 18. Here we go with all the crazy numbers again. So long run, like you said, Iron Horse Trail, mm-hmm. we were both out there. I did do my 16.
Yay.
Felt probably a little bit better than I did the week before.
So longest?
Longest
training run.
Now yeah, the longest now the training longest run. One. In 2 weeks. Hopefully we'll break that. But felt pretty good. I did a little bit better job of starting out a little bit slower. I think I started too fast the week before. So I was a little more, things kind of felt more even keeled the whole run.
That's good.
I didn't really like crash and burn so hard at the end. So my pace was pretty constant basically the entire time. I lost a little bit of time the last 3 miles. Where I said when I did my 15 miler, I kind of felt really bad from 11 to 15. Doing this 16, it was kind of like 13 to 16 was tough.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I, you know, lasted a little bit longer in terms of feeling good.
Right, right. You started feeling not so good
further on into the run.
Well, that's good. So hopefully that'll keep
happening. I was joking with you on the weekend that, you know, those evolutionary pictures that they do. It's like, you know, you start as a... like an ape, and then, you know, through evolution, you become the walking man.
Yeah. So you're, like, hunched over at the beginning, right, and then you're, more upright until you're standing totally straight, like humans.
Yeah. And I kind of felt like the complete opposite of that. So, like, as the run got closer to 16 miles, I was getting, you know, as my whole body got more tired, more hunched over, and, I don't know. I was actually afraid of tripping and falling on my face. I was starting to, like, hunch over so much. Because as I get tired and I run longer, I don't do a very good job at picking up my feet. I guess my form kind of really goes at the end there.
You tend to they tend to spend more time on longer, not shuffling.
Yeah, but not shuffle, but we're getting close to that.
Yeah.
Had it been a 20 miler, I might have been shuffling at the end, or a 26 miler been shuffling. But overall, you know, I'm pretty happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
Went pretty well. I did. Last week, I didn't have anything, I think, before the run, right before the run. This week, I did. I stole one of your Honey Stinger waffles.
Yeah.
So, I had that right before I went out, and I think that's going to kind of be my plan from now on.
Do you think you felt better with it, or did you see a difference, or as far as, like, being able to fuel a little bit later, or just feeling better in terms of that?
I personally like to have something right before the run.
Like, and by like right a few before, minutes.
I mean, like, within 30 minutes before. So, you know, in the past, I'd take a goo a lot of times,
mm-hmm.
but I kind of get sick of the goo.
Right.
And the Honey Stinger waffle actually seems, like, lighter.
Yeah, not as, like, heavy in your system. Yeah,
in your stomach. So, it was kind of a good thing to start with.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that's why that's going to be my strategy from here on out, at least for long runs. Short runs doesn't matter, but is just take that Honey Stinger waffle before I start running. And then during the run, I'll probably just do goos like I normally do.
Yeah.
Although, I got to look up how many calories... or in a Honey Stinger waffle. I'm just kind of curious how that compares to a goo.
It's more than 100. I think most goos are about 100, 110.
So it's pretty similar.
I know waffle is, it's more than 100, but it's less than 200. So I just don't know if it's like 160 or...
Okay. And I'll look that up before next week because I'm actually really curious how they stack up against each other. But this time I also did the goo chomps.
Yeah.
During my run, so I took one package of strawberry flavored goo chomps. And I actually really like taking the chomps because I just would kind of take one individual chomp every 5 minutes or so.
Right.
I guess. So I kind of liked having that constant fueling versus taking a goo maybe every 45 minutes or an hour or whatever that interval is. So it was kind of nice to just get a little bit at a time all the time. Although I don't like the fact that goo chomps are like sticky.
It's hard to kind of get out of the package, and then if you touch them, fingers get a little sticky?
Yeah, I kept wiping my fingers on my shorts, and like the stickiness still kind of doesn't go away. Mm-hmm. So it's, you kind of have to be okay with
being sticky,
having sticky fingers.
Yeah.
For your entire run. Yeah, that
sounded
run.
Better. Sticky fingers sticky instead fingers. Of being sticky.
Yeah. I'm sure after 16 miles, that was pretty
sticky. You're pretty sticky too. yeah, if you run on any sort of consistent basis, you're okay with kind of being sticky.
And they're so sticky, you can't like just tear open the package and like shake them out into your mouth mm-hmm. out of the package because they stick to the package.
But you can kind of like squeeze them out, right?
No, like, they're kind like of too knead sticky. Them out?
Oh, okay.
Into the package.
Yeah, see, I haven't had those in a while. But you know, that's one thing I really like about the Honey Stinger chews. Like similar to the Chomps, is you can kind of like, you know, like you said, kind of feel like every so often, you know. So, but one package can last you like a while versus like, okay, a goo, you got to like take it all right now, or as much as you're going to right now, because you're not going to like save it, you know, right. Save half of it for later. So that's one thing I really like. You may want to try the chews, because if there's a flavor you might like, although I don't know,
Honey Stinger chews.
Yeah, the Honey Stinger chews. Yeah, because they're not as sticky in the package. Mm-hmm. So I don't actually ever have to touch them. I'm just able to kind of like squeeze them out of the package or just kind of move them along in the package and then just eat them.
Well, maybe I'll try that, and maybe I'll have you try some Goo Chomps, because maybe it's just me. I can't get them out of the package. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, it's also like doing a marathon or 20 miles. Like I kind of get sick of ticking goo constantly.
Well, especially if you're kind of a one flavor person. Or mainly one flavor person.
I like two flavors for.
But you never take the second flavor on your runs.
On races, I do. But
oh, okay.
Because that's the always. That's
your backup.
For goo, chocolate's my favorite, and then after that I revert to vanilla bean, and it's always funny because vanilla bean is always what they have at races.
Yeah, they do.
Now, I don't know if that's because nobody likes vanilla bean, or
I like vanilla bean.
I do too, but I don't understand why that's the flavor that they always have at races.
Yeah.
At least with the rock and roll races, I guess is mainly what I'm thinking about.
I always seem to get Jet Blackberry when I go through a race thing, and I don't like Jet Blackberry, so I have like three or four of them, and what am I gonna do with the, like, I mean, they're not horrible, but if I have a different flavor, I'm gonna eat a different flavor. So
yeah, so that was my long run, I guess. I think my week was like a 25 mile week.
That's good.
So pretty happy about it. And I wasn't too beat up after the run. Felt pretty good that day, you know, sore right after and everything, but Sunday actually felt pretty good. Kind of help somebody with a little kitchen remodel project on Sunday. So when I was done, I was super tired. I was like
at the end of
dead
Sunday.
Tired. Yeah, at the end of Sunday. But I think that was just from long run the day before and then kind of being on my feet, kind of doing stuff
like
all day
home
long.
Repair type.
Yeah, all day on Sunday. So that kind of really made me tired. But I did make sure to get a lot of sleep the past 2 days, which helps. Although I'm still, I swear I could still go for like a 10-hour night's sleep. That would be awesome to somehow catch up. But yeah, and I am week, that completes week number 9 on my marathon training plan of 18 weeks. So we both have 9 weeks to go.
Right.
But my training plan that I was following is now officially half over.
Yep. And I think I'm a third of the way into mine, just because I was lazy
late.
About it and started late. So
yours was
you
a
had,
12 week.
I had a 12 week. Yeah. What did you have? You just said
18.
18. Okay. Yeah. So I just got lazy and started late. So.
And so, and then this. Although we're getting to the meat of the runs in the next few weeks.
Well, let me ask you a question that I think I asked you last time, or you talked about last time. So after doing your 16 miler, do you feel better or worse about the marathon?
I feel more confident after the 16 than I did the 15.
Okay.
And that's just mainly because it just kind of went a little bit better.
Yeah.
Although I didn't mention my IT band. It's kind of bothering me a little bit more each week. Not like a huge amount more, like minusculely more, but I definitely noticed it more on the 16 than I did the 15. So I'll have to keep an eye on how that works out the next 2 weeks. You know, not enough to stop me from running or anything like that, or make me even think about not doing the marathon or any other upcoming races that we
right,
have.
Right, before the marathon.
Yeah, because we do have quite a few coming up before that, but... yeah, no, I'm feeling okay about it. It's still,
okay.
You know, from somebody who's only run 16 miles as the longest training run, you know, thinking about doing a full marathon and, oh, that's 10 more miles. That's a long time to be out there.
Yeah.
So I still have a hard time imagining being out there that long, and because I am a lot slower than you.
Yeah.
I'm out there way longer than you will be.
Right.
You know, we went to do our long run together this weekend. I did 16, you did 18, and you still finished. How long did you have to wait for me?
I don't know. I mean, I got back and like got into the car, had my soy chocolate milk, and then went to the bathroom and changed.
Took a nap, went to eat.
Drove home and came back. No, I don't know. Like, well, how long did it, I mean, do you not want to say how long it took you to?
Oh, no, I think I was out there for like 3 hours.
Okay. I took 2:35.
Yeah.
So it was about 25 minutes.
More. So, yeah. I mean, the one downside about being a slower runner is, yeah, you're putting in some degree less effort because you're a slower runner, but you're out there for a lot longer.
Yeah.
So actually, you know.
I don't know that I would necessarily say it's less effort.
Right. That's probably not the best way to say it.
Because I'm sure your effort feels the same to you as my effort feels to me, like on our long runs. Do you know what I mean? So I wouldn't say that you're putting in less effort than I am.
Maybe I'm just really lazy and not putting much effort into it.
Maybe you're just like stopping and sitting on a bench and not saying anything for like half an hour.
Taking a nap.
And you're actually really running the same pace.
That's true.
Maybe.
It could happen.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Except that I see you at the turnaround. So,
that's
so I would
true.
Kind of know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually the good thing about doing it out and back.
Right. Is I see you.
Yeah. So.
But.
What?
Sorry, I know we're spending a lot of time on this, but that made me think of something else. Okay, if you're ever out there, you know, like doing a long run or whatever, you know, with somebody else, even if you're not running like with them, and you know, you're kind of concerned about them because maybe they're running further than they ever have before, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing, and you ask them if they're okay, don't say no if you don't really mean it.
Well, I said, you asked me.
Yeah, I'm like, are you doing okay? And you said no. And then for like, I know it was only a split second, like, and then later you're like, no, I'm okay. But for like that split second, like, in my head, I'm like, oh my gosh, what's wrong? You know, is it his IT band? Is he just done? Is he going to like just stop and I have to go get the car, but he's going to have to wait like an hour and a half? You know, so for like, I know it was only like a split second, but in my head, I'm like already starting to kind of like try to figure it out and like triage it and stuff. So yeah.
And I think I said it jokingly, didn't I? I think I had a smile on my face.
There was no smile. You were like, no. And then I was like, oh crap. And then you're like, no, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm like, all right. So yeah. I mean, just kind of like freaked me out for a second. So. Anyways,
I'm always good. Like, you know, it's 8 miles to the turnaround. I'm always good for 8 miles. That's no problem.
It's a few miles later.
Yeah. It's funny, too. You mentioned about like warming up and stuff. And it's weird. I think I've said before, it's like I always feel really good from like mile five. I used to say 5 to 7. Now maybe I feel pretty good from like 5 to 8.
Mm-hmm.
That's like my zone right there is when I'm feeling kind of the best.
Yeah.
5 to 8. Before that, it's kind of like, oh, I got to get going and
right.
warmed up and. Although I can run fast at the beginning, although I shouldn't, but
you could.
Yeah. But that 5 to 8 mile range is like perfectly in the zone, at least on longer runs and races. I feel that way on races too. So,
right. Yeah. It takes a little while. Well, that's the thing. Like to me, it feels like it takes me at least 3 miles to kind of get warmed up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why like I feel so pressured and panicked when I do a 5K. Cause I'm like, you know, normally it takes me this whole entire race distance to feel warmed up. So anyways.
You need to do like a back, you need to find like some, we talked about doing back-to-back races. You need to find like a 5K followed by a 5K like immediately.
Like immediately after? Yeah. Or I guess I just have to go run.
I guess that like, would be called a 10K also.
Yeah, I guess it would be, yeah.
All right, that's enough of our
math is great today.
Totally, we're bad with numbers. Well, I'm bad with numbers.
But you're the numbers guy.
I know.
Okay, anyways. All right, so are we moving on here?
Yeah, let's move on. That's okay. Kind of our crazy week, I guess.
Yeah,
well, we spent a lot of time on.
I was going to say we dragged you guys through a lot of our week, so apologies. I didn't think we had taken that long.
Well, I'm sure you know people go through a lot of similar things that we go through.
Yeah.
So,
Hopefully.
What are we talking about? We got in the mail today a nice little surprise. Not a surprise. We're expecting it.
Kind of a surprise.
Well, it's just a surprise when you're going to get it.
Right. That's
you
true.
Know, it's funny. I kind of had a feeling it would come today, but we got our rock and roll. Grand Slam medals.
Yeah.
So
another heavy medal
for doing 4 rock and roll events, because we did Arizona, Pasadena,
San Diego, Virginia Beach.
There you go. And it's kind of funny because we got it just in time before we do our next rock and roll
right.
event. But yeah, actually the medal looks really good.
Yeah, I really like it. It is actually pretty heavy, like literally.
Yeah. I didn't say it yet.
I wanted to say it. Yeah, it's kind of heavy. I really like it. I think I like this one better than our 3-1. What was it?
Triple Crown.
I think I like this one better than Triple Crown. So yeah, I think it's like, oh, go ahead.
You no, I was just saying, you know, we've said it before, but I really continue to like all the rock and roll medals. They're all like really solid, good looking medals. I mean, the only thing I don't like about the heavy medals is they don't designate a year.
Right. Which, so, I mean, makes sense why they do it. But.
Yeah, I'm sure they're just reusing the exact same medal for several years at least.
Exactly.
Because... I know these are the same as that they used last year based on right. pictures that I saw. So, but still kind of cool. Little something extra for doing multiples.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anything else on your medal there? You're holding it in your
hand. I'm just looking at it. I'm admiring it. No, well, it's just like it's, I guess it's in the shape of, I guess, a baseball diamond, kind of. I mean, not, you know, perfect or anything. But, yeah, maybe we'll post a picture up or something.
I think so. Is that a blue or black band? The ribbon?
It's a really dark blue.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird color.
Like a really, really dark blue. I just noticed, is this like piano keys? Or what is this?
I think so.
Oh. Huh.
You know, rock and roll. Okay. I'm assuming. Either that or it's a really odd design on the metal, but yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a piano case.
Yeah.
Speaking of rock and roll.
Yes.
What else did they announce this week?
They announced their tour pass, the unlimited tour pass for 2013. So I think we mentioned sometime earlier this year that they came out with the tour pass for this year, but it was after we had already done, I think, two of their races. Mm-hmm. I think we had done Arizona and Pasadena, and then they had come out with the tour pass for the rest of this year where you pay a certain amount of money, and then for this year, it entitled you or let you do as many of their races that they had on their list, which wasn't all of their races. But for 2013, it looks like it's going to be $399, and it looks like you can do any of the North American tour stops because they also have some just European, right? They don't go, I think they're not past Europe at this point.
Right.
So just any of the North American races you want to do, as many as you want. And then it includes either if you purchase it soon enough, I think by the end of this month, yeah, by Halloween, then you can either do Las Vegas this year or Las Vegas next year. If you purchase it after October 31st, then it's just Las Vegas next year. But for $399, and I think it's 27 tour stops, or did I just make that up? No, yeah, it's 27 North American tour stops to choose from in 2013. And it doesn't limit you as far as you can only do like six of those or seven of those. So I think if you are going to really try to do a lot of rock and roll races within one calendar year, this would be the way to go. If you're just going to do one or two, then
definitely not worth it.
It's not worth it.
I think the way I was figuring, you have to do at least five.
Uh-huh.
To break even.
Okay.
And really six to save money. Because I'm just thinking, you know, there's always some kind of discount floating around for these races. So, I mean, it actually really depends on when you register for events. If you're kind of a last minute person that registers 30 days out, then this might save you money at four, or, you know, you might break even at four and saving money at five.
But if you're somebody who registers early and maybe has a discount code, like registers early and does it like the 13th of the month, how they always have like that $13 mm-hmm. off, then yeah, you'd probably have to go to five or six races then to break even.
And for those few people that go for the, what is it, Rock Idol, do like 10 a year or something like that.
Then this is worth it.
Then yeah, you're definitely going to save this. Huge money.
I think it's good that they went up to include all of their North American tour stops this coming year. For 2013, because that was kind of one of the bummers about 2012, although it was cheaper, mm-hmm. but it excluded a lot of their races.
I think it was like 270, 240.
It was 2-something.
But yeah, it was really odd because...
it excluded a lot of their races, so...
So it was like, for those, like, the races that are on the West Coast, it was like a few of them, but not all of them. So it's like, when we were looking at it, it's like, well, it's not going to be worth it. We have to, like, travel a lot to get in additional races.
Yeah.
You know, it's actually not bad if you're in Southern, you know, we're here in Northern California, but if you're in Southern California and you like rock and roll and you want to do a bunch of them, it's actually pretty easy to do out of Southern California because you could do Arizona, Pasadena,
San Diego,
LA, Vegas, and San Jose. Wouldn't be that far of a drive either. So it's kind of like a whole nice cluster.
You can drive to all those essentially mm-hmm. or, well, I don't know. Arizona might be a little far to drive to, but
yeah. And then if you're over on the East Coast near, kind of looking at the map. I don't know where the best place would be. Take a look if you're over there. Near D.C., I guess, kind of. You might be able to get a bunch of them in over there.
Yeah.
Virginia Beach, D.C., Philly.
New York. Although, is New York just a 10K?
I think so. Okay. One of those out there on the East Coast is only a 10K. I have no idea.
Do we know why? That
never
just always seemed a little odd to me.
Maybe it's just easier to do.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. But it's just kind of odd just to have one random 10K. Yeah, so that's our R&R update, unless you had anything to add to that.
No, that's kind of it. I think we're actually, you know, we had fun doing R&R events this year, but I think we're probably going to end up doing none next year. Maybe one.
At the most one, and it'd probably be San Jose. although we haven't done that one yet this year. But I think if we were going to do any of them next year, that'd probably be the most likely one at this point, because mm-hmm. it's just the closest one to us.
Right.
But yeah, I'm not focusing a lot on our events for next year.
Yeah.
I'm going to do other stuff.
They're cool events, but I think we're kind of looking for new stuff. And,
yeah.
And all the R&R events are kind of, they really are so similar to each other.
Mm-hmm. Like the same kind of package.
Yeah. You kind of get, you know, although the medals are cool, they're all kind of the same looking.
Right.
In some ways. The shirts are kind of, actually the shirts are pretty cool and different.
Yeah, but, I really like the shirts. I've been using those.
You know, you get the same bag, same people at the expo to a certain degree.
Every once in a while I get a race crew bag that's different.
Just once. We'll see what we get at San Jose. Yeah. But, yeah, so that's R&R. It's funny, I'll just mention Philadelphia. Philadelphia Marathon is in November. And I think that just sold out this past weekend.
Oh, wow.
The half and the full sold out. I heard some mention that that's the earliest that it's ever sold out, although it's only a month and a half away. So it doesn't seem
super early.
Strikingly remarkable. I think you mentioned Portland's another big one that's coming up.
Yeah, Portland is actually this Sunday.
This
coming Sunday. So we'll be doing R&R San Jose, and then the marathon will be going on up in Portland. That's one that I wouldn't mind doing at some point.
Yeah, and I mentioned that because we were talking about it this weekend as a possible race to do at some point in the future.
Yeah.
Kind of a smaller race. I think it's like 12,000 people.
I think so.
So to me, I think that's a real good size. I think 8 to 12,000 people is a real good size for for like a big marathon.
Because that's like CIM size, I think, right?
Yeah, CIM, I think it's like 8.
Like 8.
8 to 10.
Yeah, I like that size. It feels good.
It feels good?
It does.
It's just the perfect size. Right. Other big races going on. This past weekend was Berlin Marathon. Which is kind of, you know, one of those big marathons if you're looking at the global scale, where Jeffrey Mattei won, which wasn't surprise at all. It was kind of
interesting.
I think the biggest surprise is he was kind of going for the world record, which he fell short, I think, of by less than a minute of the world record. But I don't know what else to say about that.
I was like, what?
Well, no.
Like, I mean, what happened?
The interesting thing about the, is he finished 1 second ahead of, I think it's Dennis Kimento, who is actually one of his training partners from Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of the story was the last stretch, the last 100 meters, the last 100 yards, whatever you want to say, they didn't race it out at all.
Oh.
So basically, he just kind of handed Mattei the win. And I was actually watching the video earlier of the finish, and it was, you know, there was no contesting for the win there at all. Kimeto just let Mattei win. So I don't know. I don't think Kimeto was one of his official pacers for the marathon, but being his training partner, and I don't know what money incentives there are out there for that, he just kind of let him win. So it looked a little
odd.
Looked really odd.
Yeah.
Looked kind of anticlimactic. Some people were kind of questioning it as, you know, I don't know, kind of makes the race a little bit sour because, you know, you have somebody just handing over the win to somebody else. And I don't think it was a question of they were both just spent, I'm sure.
I was going to say, well, maybe he just didn't have any more in the tank.
Nah, if you saw the video, there was no...
Maybe he dropped his honey stinger chews and didn't get to eat them.
No. If they were, it's funny, if they were really, like, racing, you would have seen Mattei, like, checking over his shoulder more to see if, you know, Kimeto, who was trailing him, was going to go or anything like that. And it was just kind of cruise on into the, you know...
Like, I have this...
And I say cruise lightly, you know, these guys turned in a 2:04.
That's ridiculous.
Full. Like I said, I think it was like 38 seconds off the
2:04.
The world record pace. Yeah, he finished in 2:04:15.
Took me a long time to beat that for a half marathon.
Yeah, Mattei finished 2:04:15. Kimeto's official time was 2:04:16. So 1 second off. And although Mattei actually ran the fastest time in the world, 2:03:02. At the 2011 Boston Marathon, but that doesn't qualify for a world record.
Oh, so, right.
Because of the Boston being downhill and all that stuff. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of Boston.
Boston.
The registration for 2013 Boston is still open.
Still open, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny. You know, we make so much of it's hard to get into Boston, you know, and then they increase the times. And yet, if you...
Well, they didn't increase it, but they decreased the times.
Right. Well...
They made it more difficult.
Made it more difficult.
For people to qualify. Time,
and then made it more difficult by letting the fastest people... register first.
Right.
And I guess that's kind of become a non-issue this year, at least.
Yeah. Still open. It started...
It like opened 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think it was like the second week of September or something. So yeah, it's still open. So that's... Hey, if I can ever qualify...
then you have a better shot of getting in.
Right. It's just that whole qualifying part. That might be the problem.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what you do in December.
Yeah.
yeah, that's kind of it for them, what's going on in the world of marathon running. I wanted to mention Zombies Run app.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mention in my weekend training, but my 6 mile run, or my 5.83 mile run on Thursday, actually did use the app on that run for the first time. I mentioned a couple weeks back, I downloaded it when it was on sale.
Yeah.
And I gave it a try. It was kind of cool. Kind of a little something different to mix up the runs. I don't know if there's some issue with the app running on iOS 6 for, I have it on an iPhone. Because it's kind of cool. It walks you through the story, and then the story will take a little bit of a break, and it just plays your music from your playlist. And then, so you'll listen to a couple songs, and then the storyline kind of jumps back in. But a lot of times I had large pauses with no music.
Like just nothing happening at all?
Just nothing. So like a song would stop, and then it'd be nothing. Or then there'd be part of the storyline, and then nothing. So I don't know if that's how it's supposed to be, or if there's something wrong with running on iOS 6. I have no idea.
So did you have to run faster? Did it? I mean, I've only heard how the program works. I haven't actually listened to it or anything or tried it. Like, was there zombie chases?
Yes.
Okay.
So kind of the whole app is, you know, there's kind of the storyline of, I guess, the world's been taken over by zombies and people are trying to survive. You yourself become runner number 5. You don't have a name. You're just runner number 5.
Is everybody runner number 5?
No.
Oh.
Well, what do you mean? On their particular app?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Like if I go do it, am I going to be runner 5?
Okay. Right. Okay. And it kind of takes you to the storyline, and I think there'll be a different mission for every run that you do. The opening one is kind of you're on a helicopter and you crash, and somebody's talking in your ear. Somehow you hear them through a radio, and they kind of guide you where to go, and you have to go to this hospital and pick up some med kits or something like that.
Despite the crash, huh?
Despite the crash.
That's pretty good.
You have to do all this stuff, you know. good job surviving and not getting killed by
zombies.
Now
do all
this. But we need you to go pick up med kits and stuff. But the story kind of walks you through, and you got to go to get these med kits, and then they kind of tell you how to get back. And then kind of as they're narrating the story, you know, it's kind of like, oh no, there's like zombies kind of approaching you in the area. And then so intermittently, there'll be, the app will kind of tell you like zombies, I forget exactly what it says, zombies approaching, zombies near or something like that. And then, you'll actually hear like, it's not a heartbeat, but, a beat in the background that gets faster as the zombies get closer.
Mm-hmm.
So basically when you hear the zombies are kind of on you and approaching, you have to speed up.
Okay.
To get away from it, and it'll tell you like they're 50 meters away or I think 25 meters away, and you kind of have to, that's your sprint interval that you have to kind of get away from the zombies. So when I did that run, I actually took the run a little more conservative than I normally would,
because
I knew like, okay, wait a minute, I don't know how fast I'm gonna have to run to kind of get away from these zombies. So I did take it kind of a little bit slower when I wasn't being chased by zombies, and then when it, you know, when the zombie chase would begin, that's when I took off and I sprinted and I got away from the zombies every time. So I survived.
Yay.
Didn't get caught. Was actually pretty easy. Wasn't really difficult at all. I think in a 1 hour run, I think I only had to avoid zombies 3 times. So
that's not too bad.
Yeah.
Did you do this at night? Was it dark?
No, it was actually like right after work. So like early evening. So
like, I wouldn't want to do that at nighttime.
Don't do it in a forest, a dark forest. Maybe not. Might be a little scarier.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's kind of just something to break the monotony of running sometimes. You know, if you get tired of listening to your own music, or you get tired of listening to any random podcast, this one included, you know, it's kind of just something different. And it was done pretty well. Sometimes I couldn't understand the person talking on the app.
You could hear him okay, though? I mean, it's just...
I could hear him, but like sometimes it would tell you pick up items like along the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it tells you, I think it just kind of says like you picked up like a med kit or... It's kind of funny, sports bras in there.
Oh,
it's one of the things you pick up.
What's the good thing? You picked up some sports bras.
Yeah, I'm like, well, that's not going to help me out at all. But
you never know. You could like MacGyver them for something else. Who knows?
Yeah, or you pick up an axe. I think axe was like the very first thing that it told me I picked up. But sometimes I couldn't hear. And I think somebody had mentioned that might be on iOS 6 that's created a problem. So I don't know. I'll give it a couple more tries. And I'm not going to do like every run from now on with it. But
yeah,
you know,
once in a while.
Maybe once a week or once every 2 weeks. I'll just... do it to try it out, and I'll have a better idea, I guess, in a couple weeks how I like it or how I don't like it. But it seems pretty cool. I mean, I'll definitely give them props for having an awesome idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's pretty well done. I think the app is normally $7.99. I bought it on sale for $2.99.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't pay $7.99 for it. Mm-hmm. You know, at $3, I think it's worth it, and it's cool. At $8,
not $8.
It's kind of expensive to me.
At 8, you'd want a real zombie coming out chasing after you, huh?
Yeah, that'd be cool. Maybe we can, like, you can, like, have a service where you pay somebody to, like, dress up as a zombie, and you're like, okay, I'm going to go out for my 10-miler.
I can do that for you.
You volunteer?
Yeah.
Just, like, at random times?
I'll be the zombie, but I do not want to be chased by the zombie. Yeah. I mean, I think it sounds pretty cool and something different to do as far as, you know, kind of break, like you said, breaking up the monotony, but I think, I don't know if I'll ever try it, but I think I don't like to be chased.
It's kind of a good way to, like I said, get the intervals or the sprints in there.
Yeah. I think if it wasn't for that beat that you said, like, you can kind of hear, like, not the heartbeat, but, like, I guess maybe, like, some sort of, like, metronome or, I don't know, something in the background, like, they're getting closer, that would kind of freak me out a little bit.
No, it was, like I said, though, it was pretty easy to,
I know, avoid. But I wouldn't want to hear it.
Now, I don't know if it was easier because I was running pretty slow the rest of the time.
So in comparison?
Yeah, so I don't know if it's just done based on a percentage basis, like, you have to run 10% faster. So if it's something like that, then I was running so slow the rest of the time that made it really easy to avoid zombies.
To avoid them.
Yeah. Like I said, a really cool idea. I wish I had thought about it, actually.
Yeah.
And someday, I'll give it to you, and you can give it a try.
Okay.
And let us know, and I'll give a couple more of the missions a try.
Yeah.
And there's a few options in there I'll have to play with and stuff. Also tried out, I mentioned last week, Run Meter, the app that I use, added shoe tracking, which I hadn't used at the time, used it this week. And it's like I said, it's I love the fact that shoe tracking is in there, but it's a little awkward to pick your shoe if you alternate shoes.
It's not like super easy.
Not really.
If you're alternating shoes.
Yeah, if you just have one shoe that you wear to run all the time, you kind of set that as your default, and then it's, you know, really easy. You just, when you buy new shoes, you can go in the settings and change it. If you're like me and kind of alternate between two shoes, you kind of have to dig a little bit deeper into the settings and kind of change the default every single time or set up a bunch of presets. But I'm still happy to have it anyways.
Yeah, it's still one thing more than what you had before.
Right.
To keep track of your shoes.
Yeah.
They didn't change anything with their graphs, right? Do they have any graphs?
No graphs.
Okay.
That's kind of still what I'm waiting. I thought of something else that I wish it had like a weight log in there.
Ah.
It'd be kind of cool. I was actually looking for an app just to track my weight today.
Mm-hmm.
I know we actually haven't talked about weight.
Yeah, it's interesting.
But because I think I put a few pounds on lately.
Is that why you've avoided the topic?
Well, it's kind of weird. You know, it's, you know, coming into the meat of marathon training, you'd think I'd be losing a little bit of weight, but I think I'm kind of doing the opposite. Doing these long runs make me so hungry that I think I'm kind of overcompensating for the long run. So I wouldn't be surprised if I'm gaining weight so far during this training.
Have you been weighing yourself?
No.
Okay. Is that on purpose or just?
I think in the back of my mind, it's probably on purpose.
Okay.
I tend to, you know, when you kind of know you're putting on a couple pounds, you
kind of stop. The scale.
Yeah, you avoid the scale. And it's like when you're losing pounds, you're like, oh, let me check the, oh yeah, I'm doing
like,
good.
Oh yeah, I'm down again.
But yeah. Yeah, I was actually looking for an app today, like a free one. I don't want to spend not even 99 cents on something like that.
Yeah.
Just to kind of keep track of where I'm at. More out of curiosity, just to see how it goes the next 12 weeks.
Like the trend.
12 weeks, 9 weeks of
training for the marathon. Yeah, you don't have 12 weeks. Yeah, I just use the tab that I have in that Excel file that we talked about way back when we talked about tracking our runs and stuff like that. So there's a tab in there that tracks your weight, and then we'll do like a weight graph and chart. So I just use that to keep track, and that's okay. That's okay with me. Although I have to write it down. I weigh myself every day, so I have to write it down, and then every so often just have to enter it in there. So
yeah, I'm just trying to avoid the need for a pen and paper to write it down every day until you can make it to the Excel file.
Right.
Because whenever I've tried in the past to like write it down, I get lazy or can't find a piece of paper, you know, and so I just don't do it.
Can't find a piece of paper.
Well,
there's paper like everywhere.
Not in the bathroom where the scale is, you know.
That's true.
That's where my scale's at.
Well, there's toilet paper. I use that.
But then you might accidentally use it and then it goes down.
Oh, then, yeah. Forget it.
So that's kind of it for this week, I guess. Our next race is coming up this weekend, which ironically is Rock and Roll San Jose.
Right.
So we're both doing the half marathon, our fifth and final Rock and Roll race of the year.
Right.
Which will earn us our Rockstar heavy medal.
Yeah.
After that one.
That'll be our last heavy medal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably ever.
For me, I'm taking this as hopefully just a tempo run, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go out there and try to PR or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the marathon training. I'm kind of looking forward to running 13. after running 15 and 16.
Like only 13, like in comparison to what you've been doing?
Yeah, I'm like, only 13. This sounds awesome.
It's interesting how like your that mentality changes, huh? Like it's all like in perspective, you know?
Yeah, the half marathon used to be like, oh, this is the longest I'm going to run. And now it's like a rest week. Right. Now it's my cutback week, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, no PR for me. Are you going to, what's kind of your plan?
I'm not planning to go out there in PR.
You're going to still race it pretty hard though?
I think so. Just because I'm curious to see how well I do or how good I feel. Mm-hmm. I guess that's my theme for today. You know, how good I feel.
Yeah.
You know, if I feel really good. Feel too good to be running now. So if I am, you know, I'm just kind of curious to see now that I've been kind of consistently training for the marathon and kind of up my mileage, you know, a bit. I'm just curious to see how it feels. But I'm definitely not going for a PR. And I think I'll be okay racing it. I don't really foresee a problem with doing that since I've been, you know, kind of consistently racing the whole year, I guess. So I think I'm going to go ahead and race it, but not necessarily go out for a PR. But, you know, if I don't feel well enough, I'm definitely not going to push it. Because I don't want to risk an injury or anything like that for CIM. Plus, I think I still have a couple more races before CIM anyways. So got to think about that.
Yeah, and I think actually this will be kind of nice because as far as at least the Rock and Rolls have gone, this is the closest to home for us.
Yes.
It's no plane trip involved.
Nope.
The drive is going to be... You know, it's around an hour, a little over an hour or something like that to get out there. It's an 8 a.m. start.
Which is later than...
Which is really weird.
I think any of the Rock and Rolls we've done so far.
I think all the rest were 7.
I think we might have had one 6 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
Or 6:30. I don't remember which one that was, but I know we had an early one.
So all those things should maybe put us in a... Maybe make us feeling pretty good. I'm just checking the weather right now. Saturday and Sunday are calling for... Oh, wow. 69 degrees.
Sounds good to me.
So should be perfect, coupled with the 8 a.m. start.
And I guarantee you it's not going to be as much humidity as there was in Virginia Beach.
No, no. It's actually weird. Like yesterday and today here in Northern California, it's really warmed back up.
Yeah. It's kind of like really warmed back up.
Yeah, today was super hot. It's kind of, we jumped back into summer for 2 days, and then now we're going to cool back off. So,
yeah.
But yeah, San Jose next week should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. Might know a couple people out there.
Doing it,
at least I think so. A couple of people we don't know if they're doing it or not. We'll find
out. They're not sure if they're doing it or not.
Yeah,
at this point, so
some people making some last minute decisions on whether to run it or not. So yeah, I think that's going to do it for this week. Got anything else?
I don't think so. I think we covered everything. So
we covered it all. Let's get out of here because I actually have to go put my running shoes on and go for a
run. There you go.
I think I'm supposed to go do 4 miles right now. So
yeah, I think I'm going to take a rest day today.
Awesome. You sure you don't want to come run with me?
If you want me to, I will. That's kind of always my thing. It's like, if you want a running buddy, I'm all for it.
Right on.
Yep.
I won't drag you out, though.
Okay.
I got to drag myself out of here. yeah, why don't you tell people where to find us?
All right. So the website for the podcast is embracerunning.com. Facebook page is facebook.com/embracerunning. You can send us any comments, questions, or feedback at feedback@embracerunning.com. And that's going to do it for us this week. So until next time, keep running.